Chapter 9. Agnes. Oliver didn't know how long he had been asleep. He had dreams. They were strange dreams filled with red and black shadows and fuzzy shapes watching over him. He heard voices in the dreams, but he could barely make them out. Some sounded familiar, others didn't. He awoke in a cold sweat. He was in a bed, and he recognized it as the bed he had stayed in when he was sick at Mr. Brownlow's house. He tried to move out of the bed and bit his lip in pain. He removed the sheet and saw a bandage on his leg. "Ah, you're up," he heard a voice say from across the room. Oliver looked up and saw Mr. Brownlow standing nearby. He was holding some tea and a plate of dry toast. "How are you feeling?"
"Well, thank you," Oliver replied.
"Good, good. The doctor said you'll need to stay in bed for a few more days to heal up your leg and all that."
"How long was I asleep for?"
"Not very long, only a day."
"Nancy?" Oliver asked very suddenly, afraid of the answer.
Mr. Brownlow shook his head, confirming Oliver's fears. "I'm afraid the poor girl didn't make it," he said. "I've already made arrangements for her burial, but I'm so sorry you had to experience that, Oliver."
"And what about Bill?"
Mr. Brownlow put the tea and toast down on a small table. "I chased him all night. Mrs. Bedwin got the police, just as I asked, and some of the neighbors heard what was going on. Soon we had a whole mob looking through all of London to find him."
Mr. Brownlow sat down.
"We found him near a bridge. He tried firing that pistol at us, but nothing happened. I think he only had the two bullets. He was so pale and out of breath, I doubt he could have run much farther. We circled him, thinking we finally had cornered the man, but he wouldn't stop backing away from us. I don't think he ever realized how close he was to the edge."
"What happened?"
"He slipped. I tried to grab him, but all I managed to do was tear off a piece of his coat. Last we all saw, he was falling into the river below. We should find the body when it washes up on one of the banks."
Oliver sat in silence,
thinking about all of this. Finally, he said,
"I'm sorry."
Mr. Brownlow looked at the boy in concern.
"For what?"
Oliver looked down.
"For all of the trouble I've caused you."
He looked away from Mr. Brownlow, embarrassed. "I didn't steal your money or your books, and I didn't run away. I was taken, but I did help that man break into your home. He threatened to hurt me, and I'm sorry. After all the good you've done for me, I still do this, just like a common criminal, just like the judge said. I'm sorry. I don't know how you'll ever forgive—"
"She was my daughter," Mr. Brownlow interrupted.
Oliver looked at him, confused. "The woman in the painting? She was my daughter," Mr. Brownlow explained. "She was married, but her husband died overseas. He was a sailor, you see, and unfortunately, death happens all too often to them. She wasn't in London when she heard what happened to him, though. She was in another town, waiting for his ship to return. When she heard the news of his death, I think it broke something inside her. From what I've gathered, she wandered the streets out in the cold and died shortly after. 10 years today, now that I think about it."
"I'm so sorry to hear—"
"She was pregnant when she died," Brownlow continued. "I had simply assumed the child died with her, but then I met you, Oliver."
Brownlow pointed to a wall. Oliver looked up, following his finger, and saw the painting was hanging in the room now. "Her name was Agnes, and you look so much like her, Oliver."
"I thought maybe you were her ghost come back to haunt me for not saving her all those years ago. That's why I had the painting removed, to hide my shame and fears."
Brownlow faced Oliver once more. "So, I'm sorry, Oliver, that I didn't find you sooner, and that you've had to live this life of yours with all its sufferings. I don't know how you'll ever forgive me."
Oliver said nothing and embraced his grandfather,
Agnes's picture watching over them both, smiling.